first chapter. I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. We're going to add to the witness out of the book of Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, verse 12, Exodus 1 and 8, Deuteronomy 10 and 12. I want to say good morning and welcome to all of our visitors. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being in our time of worship, our house of worship. It's a real pleasure to have you as our guest. Amen. How are we looking? Raise your hand if you were blessed by the fast, the New Year's fast. Amen. How many can say it's still working? It's still working. Yeah, it's still working. And we thank God for it. Exodus 1:8, and then we'll add to the witness out of the book of Deuteronomy 10 and 12. Amen. This may be a familiar story to you. Just going to ask that you follow along. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It said, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph." I want to add a footnote here. He didn't know Joseph, therefore he did not know Joseph's God. All right? That's going to help you. "And he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. So come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of this land.' And so therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. And so the Egyptians made their children of Israel serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar, brick, and in all manner of service in the field. And all their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. And then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shaphara, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, 'When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrews' women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live.' But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, 'Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?' The midwife said to Pharaoh, 'Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mightily.'" Verse 21, and I'll stop here. "And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them." Amen. Come on, let's add to the witness. We'll just jump over another book or two. If you're there, Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, verse 12. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Amen. I want to start the new year out by talking about the fear of God. I want to talk about the fear of God for these first three Sundays, just to give you a prelude. This Sunday, we're going to talk about the fear of God. If you come back next Sunday, we're going to talk about the fire of God. And then we're going to conclude on the third Sunday and talk about the faithfulness of God. Amen. But here we are at the outset of another new year, another new month, another new week, and we have to start talking first about the fear of God. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. God, we come before your throne of grace again, with our ears open, with our eyes wide, and our hearts waiting and panting, even as the heart does so after the brook. We come before you as the people of old did in like manner, and we have only one question of our Lord, and that is there any word from God? How can we go into a new year, a new week, a new month without some word from the Lord? What will guide our steps? What will give us direction? What will serve as the compass for our lives and our family? Save, we get a word from the Lord. And so that's why we've come today. That's why we've dressed. That's why we've gathered here. That's why we've assembled in the house of God, to hear a word from God, so that in our hearts we can begin to develop the fear of God. So that our steps might be ordered and made right, and in so doing, please you and not ourselves. This is our heart's desire. And all of the people of God said, amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated in this place. In the introduction to the Book of Wisdom, Proverbs 1:7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Moses adds to the witness by answering the question for us that is on all of our hearts, and that is, what does the Lord require from me? What does God want from me? That's got to come across our mind. We have to consider that from time to time. And Moses answers it for us, as we read in the witness. He says, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep his commandments. I want you to pay attention to the order in which Moses lays out these steps for us. And I want you to note that the one that is on the top of the list is that God wants us to have the fear of the Lord your God. Because let me just end the sermon by giving you the punchline right up front. If you don't have the fear of God, nothing else matters. If you don't have the fear of God, you won't walk in his ways. Why would you? If you don't have the fear of God, you certainly won't love him. Why? Do you follow what I'm saying? And if you don't have the fear of the Lord in your heart, you certainly will not keep his commandments. And so that's why the wisdom writer comes right out in the prologue and tells us it is the fear of God that is at the beginning. If you don't start there, if you try to jump and get to the fire of God, or to the favor of God, or to the faithfulness of God, you'll never get there, because you never did first things first. The wisdom writer tells us that the first thing you must have, must possess, must demonstrate is a fear of God. Touch your name and say, do you fear God? Or are you more concerned about what others say? Are you more fearful about what others think? Or is the fear of God rooted in your heart? Because without the fear of God, nothing else matters. So let me start by answering the obvious question, what is the fear of God? And I'm going to start by dealing with the unbeliever first. For the unbeliever, the fear of God is the fear of the judgment of God and eternal death, which to us means eternal separation from God. That's what the fear of God is to the unbeliever. That if I don't make a change in my life towards God, I am going to suffer the judgment of God. God did not save me and give me a free rein to do whatever I want whenever I please. No, God created you for a purpose. God created you with a plan, a purpose, and a desire in mind. Your job and my job is to find out what it is God wants me to do. That's my job. That's why we gather on Sunday mornings. That's why we study His Word. Not as a parochial thing, not as just something to be doing. No, I've got to answer this question: what does God want from me? Why did He create me? Why did He allow my mother and father to come together? Why did He allow conception to happen and cause my life to come forth? Had to be a reason to it. Because unlike men, God is not foolish. He doesn't waste time. He doesn't do things without a plan or a purpose in mind. So if you are here today, this Sunday, it's because God's got something for you to do. And all of us are set our hearts to find out, God, what is it? What do you want me to do? Why did you create me? Why did you create me the way you did? How you did? Like I did? Why was I born now and not later? Why am I living in this age and not the age to come? You've got to ask God the question. What am I here for? What is my purpose for you? For the unbeliever, if you don't answer that question, there's eternal judgment. The Bible, we're going to come and we're going to have to stand before the throne of God and give an account of our lives. And we want to hear Him say, well done. We don't want to stand up there and say, well, I didn't know you wanted anything from me. I thought I could do what I wanted to do. And live any way I wanted. That's for the unbeliever. We add to the witness. You have it there in Luke 12 and 4. This is the words of Jesus. He said, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. He said, and after that have no more that they can do. He said, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. He said, yes, to him I say, fear him. Amen. So we ought to fear anybody. Who we ought to fear? Touch your neighbor and say, fear God. Now for the believer, the fear of God is reverence and awe for God. For the believer, now that we've been converted, the fear of God is no longer of His judgment. Why? Because we've passed from judgment now into eternal life. But now that we've come into eternal life, and now that we get a glimpse of who God is, there should be a reverence and an awe for God that pervades throughout our life. This is the fear of God. Hebrews 12:28 says this. Says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Touch your neighbor and say, do you have reverence for God? Are you in awe of God? Or has God become common to you? Has God become just like everyone else in your life? And if He has, that means you don't have the fear of God. There's nothing different about God. There's nothing special about his name. There's nothing special about who he is and what he does. You treat it. I was watching on TV the other day. They got a new show out called Befriended by God. And God's sending the young guy text messages and Facebook posts and all that stuff. And I watched it because I enjoyed it. But we don't ever want to make God common. We don't ever want to make God like our friends. Because when we do that, we lose the reverence, the respect, the awe we ought to have for God. We ought to hold God up higher and remember that he is up in heaven and we are down here in the earth. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because if not, you won't have the fear of God. This reverence, this respect, this awe that we ought to have, this is exactly what the fear of God means for the Christian. This is the motivating factor for us to surrender to the creator of the universe. Always remember that God created all of this. Do you follow what I'm saying? That'll help you keep it in perspective. That'll help you keep him in his proper place and you in yours. That God made all of this. Moses comes to us out of the book of beginnings and says, in the beginning, God. Before any of this was, before any of this existed, God stood alone in the middle of nothing, out in the middle of nothing, and thought to himself, by himself, I'll create me a world. And in the middle of nothing, Moses said that God began to create. He began to call things out of nothing into existence, whereby when we read the creation account, we ought to always look at God with reverence and awe. Am I right about it? Biblical fear of God includes understanding also how much God hates sin. Not enough to fear God for who he is. But we also have to learn the fear of God and that God is holy. I know that word don't work like it used to work. In the old church, I heard you singing the old songs. In the old church, holy meant something. Holiness, it invokes something in our mind. We barely even talk about the word holy, but for us to have a fear of God as a believer, we also must include with that an understanding of how much God hates sin and fearing his judgment for sin, even in the life of the believer. Was that too much? Did I say it too fast? Did I pack it in too much? For the believer, we must understand how much God hates sin and his judgment for sin, even in the life of the believer. We like that what I read before about the unbeliever, because they judgment of sin, eternal separate. That's fine, because that's them, not us. But there can be sin in the life of the believer, which God still hates and which God will also judge. Am I in here by myself or do I have help this Sunday? So even as children fear discipline from their parents and have no doubt this fear has prevented some evil actions from taking place, the same should be true in our relationship with God. We should fear his discipline and therefore seek to live our lives in such a way that pleases him. You ever notice in school, I got enough young kids, they'll help me on this point. You ever notice in school, whenever there's a substitute, all hell breaks out. Don't nobody do nothing. What? We got a substitute today? Man, I'm not even coming to class. I'm not doing no work. I better stop saying these kids might do that. When you have a substitute, you're supposed to go to class. But I remember when we had school, when we got a substitute, hey, all the rules were off. Why? Because we had no fear of the substitute. The substitute didn't even know my name. They didn't know what I was supposed to be in the class. We used to be crazy. When there was a substitute, we would go to classes that wasn't even ours and act like because we wanted to hang with our boys. Yeah, I'm in the class. We in the back fooling around. But because the substitute didn't know us,
Do you follow what I'm saying? And if you're with me in the spirit, you'll see where I'm going. We got to have fear. When we have, just like we have a fear of the teacher who can bring, they know who we are. They've met our parents. They know what our mother and father expects of us. And a lot of the time, it wasn't even about sending you to the principal. They would say, you know what, young man? If you don't sit down, I'm going to call your father. Now we go. We wouldn't even fool with it, right? Because we knew what the fear of God, what it meant to our parents, what it meant for the teachers. So we wouldn't get caught up in acting crazy. You follow what I'm saying? But when a substitute came, we act all kind of way, do any kind of thing. But that should not be the way the Christian lives. We live like we are under the gaze of our parents because we are. Because Jesus said, when you pray, say what? Our Father. Every day you go to school, you're in the presence of the Father. Every day you go to work, you're working in the presence of the Father. Every day you're living in the neighborhood and around the block, you're doing it in the presence of the Father. So don't you do nothing that you wouldn't do with God watching. Take somebody and say, I'm working on the fear of God. Yeah, my Father's here. There ought to be some stuff. Especially with boys. Your dad walk in, you drop everything. Why? Because that's my dad. And I know my dad doesn't play that. I know my dad would get upset if he saw me acting like that. My father would pull me out of the room and deal with me harshly if he heard the words coming out of my... Do you follow what I'm saying? And if you can have that for your earthly father, how much more ought you have that for your... Am I right about it? He said, look here. You got, this is the fear of the Lord. And so we've got to understand that. Now let me work this fear of the Lord. That's what it is. Now let me deal with how you get it. How do I get the fear of God in my life? The fear of God must be taught and learned. Hear me when I say this. It is not natural. You hear what I'm saying? The fear of God. The fear of the Lord must be taught and learned because it is not natural. You're not born with the fear of God in your heart. Do you follow what I'm saying? Someone has to teach you that. And then you have to be receptive and learn that. Do you follow what I'm saying? Here, I got a witness, Deuteronomy 4:10. The Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. I want you to turn there, because I want you to have that, because I don't think I have that one on the big board. Turn there. I want you to read that for yourself. Turn there. 4:10. This is God talking. Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. So you don't get off easy this Sunday, because you have to learn the fear of God. This is why we have sermons like this. No joy this Sunday. If you didn't shout during the first half of the service, you're not going to. Because the second half, I'm here to teach you something. And that's the fear of the Lord. How do you teach the fear of the Lord? With the word of the Lord. You show them what he said about how you ought to treat him. There it is, Deuteronomy 4:10. Go to Deuteronomy 31:12. Same book a little further in. And there's no surprise that it's in the book of Deuteronomy, because it's there that he gives his laws, his statutes, his ordinances
to the people as he was trying to shape them into a nation. He had to spend so much time getting them to understand who he was and how he ought to be treated. 31 and 12. Again, gather the people together, men and women, little ones, and the stranger within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, that the children, watch this, who have not known it. I told you it's not natural. You're not born with the fear of God. That's why it has to be taught. For that the children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan now to possess. Do you read it? That they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God. And he said, after you get it, you've got a responsibility. You've got to turn around and teach your kids. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me give you this out of Psalms 86 and 11. You may even know this. Psalms 86, 11 says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Teach me your way. Show me the path that leads to truth. And cause my heart to fear your name. Not only do you have to be taught the fear of God, not only do you have to learn the fear of God, you have to pray for the fear of God. The kind of fear of God that goes past your human understanding. Because how many know we only listen to mom and dad so much? We only listen to our teachers so much. Do you follow what I'm saying? But when it comes to God, we can't just fear God just so much. No, we got to go all the way with God. And so we need God. God, you give me the fear I ought to have for you. Show me the respect that is due unto your name. You show me how I ought to worship. You show me how I ought to dress, how I ought to guide my life. I don't want to just base it on my own human understanding. But I need the Spirit of the living God. Take what I have learned and now add to it so that I have the proper respect, reverence, and awe for the name of God. Are you with me in this? Here, let's work against it now. That's how you get the fear of God. Now, let me tell you, let me give you something. Here's people who do not have the fear of God. Psalms 36 and 1. Here's how people live when they do not have the fear of God. The psalmist says, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And therefore, he flatters himself in his own eyes. And when he finds out his iniquity, and even when he hates, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. And he has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed, and he sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. These are people that are absent the fear of God. When you don't have the fear of God, anything goes. You'll say anything. You'll do anything. You'll go anywhere. No fear of repercussions, no fear of judgment, no fear of nothing. Because you have become your own God. Pharaoh, when Moses comes to see Pharaoh, Pharaoh says this of Moses. He said, who is the Lord that I should fear him? He said, I'm the only God. I'm the only thing happening in the earth. Who is your Lord that I should even fear him? And many of us, many people in this world live like that. Who is God that I should fear him? Or who is the Lord that I should obey his word? I'm big enough to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Here, let me add this, Romans 13:7. Let's get down the road here. He says, therefore, render to all their proper due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear, meaning respect, to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. Get this, church. When we fail to learn the fear of God, we fail to learn fear and honor and respect for any human authority. When we don't teach the fear of God at home, they'll grow up and have fear of nobody. No respect for authority. No respect for rule or government. You follow what I'm saying? Let your mind, let me have your mind. And I don't even need to preach this because you got your own newspapers. Your newspapers are filled with people acting without the fear of God. That's why they said they never learned to abhor evil. You got stuff happening every day of the week that the only way you can even try to quantify it or to understand it is to say they have no fear of God. Children, sons killing fathers. Daughters murdering mothers. Husbands killing their own wives. What kind of foolishness is this? What has happened to the world? Everybody's going crazy because there's no fear of God. Why? Because no one's teaching them anymore. No mamas are telling their daughters about God anymore. No fathers are requiring their sons. No, you're going to church. I don't care what you do. You're going to church today because you're going to learn the fear of God. Because if you don't learn the fear of God, you won't fear me. You won't honor me. Then you'll come home one day full of your own self, telling me what you're going to do in my house. Not today, you won't. I wish I had some real parents in here. No. Look. And you ain't got to be heavy-handed with it. What you got to do is teach them the fear of the Lord. You're not going to beat them into submission. You're not going to beat them into obedience. But when you lay that word of God as a foundation, then you allow the Spirit of God to start moving. Watch this. And then when you start living with the fear of God in your own life, I lost half the church. As long as I left the weight on the pastor, it was okay. But when the parents are required to live under the fear of God, then your sons see it. Then your daughters take notice of it. When they see mama praying, when they watch daddy curtail his language and stop swearing and using the name of God in vain, they take notice of it. And they begin to learn the fear of God. Because the wisdom writer said, it's the most important lesson you will ever teach. Why? Because it's the beginning. If you miss that, you've missed everything. They'll never listen. They'll never become subject. And, I did all that. No, what you should have done was start at the beginning. Teach them the fear of the Lord. Teach them to honor the word of God. Teach them that you don't use God's name in vain. Going through this with my own boys. Whoa, what did you say? I don't care what they're saying at school. I don't care what they're saying on the team. I don't care what they're saying out of the place. No. You don't say that name. If your friend's got a problem with it, tell them to come see me. Because as for me in my house,
And you got to get over yourself and stop looking at it. Oh, you're being too hard. Oh, you're being too tough. Oh, they don't raise kids like that. That's why kids today are going to hell in a handbasket. Because no one has the courage anymore. You will be in this house at 10 o'clock. If you're not in here, I'm going to be out there, and it's going to be worse for you. You had enough sense. You come in at 9:30. Hey, Pop. You good? I'm good. All right, I'm going upstairs. It's all right now. Why? Why? Because the Bible said it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands. I wish I had a real church. A real church would help me. A real church would get behind me. Here, I got to get out of this. Here, what are the benefits of having the fear of God? Psalms 111:10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I told you last Sunday, wisdom is when God shows you things that other people do not know. How do you get wisdom? How do you start getting ahead? How do you start making decisions that work out well for you? You need the wisdom of God. Well, how do I get it? It starts by fearing God. Starts by fearing His name. Starts by having a reverence and an awe for God that causes me to humble myself under the mighty hands of the Lord. Proverbs 8:18 says this, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Let me just speak plain. Let me speak plain. Everybody look at me so you can get it. The Bible says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. But we yield all the time. Every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Yielding. We know it's wrong, but we do it anyway. Not that we haven't been taught, we have. Not that we don't know, we do. And watch this. Look at how well God built us. He built us with a conscience that even without being taught, even without receiving instruction, God has put a divine mechanism inside of the human body that yells out, stop it! Before you do it. It's called your conscience. And it's in you. And God put it there. But when you don't have the fear of God, it becomes easy to override your conscience. I know it was wrong, but I did it anyway. I know I shouldn't have gone there, but I went anyhow. Do you follow what I'm saying? Here it is. Let me speak plain. When you have the fear of God, and I told you this earlier, it also includes the fear of God for sin. So it's not just awe and respect for God. He's up and I'm down. But it's an understanding that my Father does not like sin. Therefore, I will restrain myself from sinning. Do you follow what I'm saying? Part of the way that you begin to live better for God, watch me Friday night, and start coming under His lordship, you need the fear of God. Because when you work and operate with the fear of God, in your conscious mind, even when your flesh would, your spirit out of fear for God will draw you back. And a lot of times we find ourselves crossing over the line because we have no fear of God, no fear of His repercussions. And maybe, Kirk, maybe it's the preacher's fault. Because all of the preachers want to preach about the love of God, the favor of God. If I hear another sermon on the favor of God, I'm going to throw up. But no one teaches about the wrath of God, the judgment of God. That's why the Bible writer said it is a fearful thing. It's one thing for someone. I used to get in trouble. I was hot-headed, whatever. And I got in trouble. I teachers, principals, all that. But none of it compared to when your father whips you. Because, see, the teachers, they don't know where to hit you at. And I know they don't hit now and all that. I'm all out of. Don't take this off the internet. Someone might call me, whatever. But I would much rather someone else beat me than my own father. Because your father's going to whip you until he gets tired. Then it's over. He's going to whip you until his arm falls off. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's far better to get whipped by someone with a conscience than a mother or father that is possessed demonically. In a good way. In a good way. I know y'all call him Bishop. Look, he wasn't always Bishop. I know y'all called her the matriarch. She wasn't always the matriarch. But guess what? It was good for me. Because I learned the fear of God. And out of my fear for God, I learned fear and respect for my parents. I learned fear and respect for the elderly. When I grew up, you couldn't address a senior without saying, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. You just say yes or no, a hand would come out of left field. Kanana! And I know we're laughing now, but it was good for me because it taught me something. I learned something about God, that there's repercussions for doing it my way. There's repercussions for making things that are supernatural to making things common. And I can talk to them any way I feel like. When I can treat them. And you know what happened? That same fear and respect that I learned as a young person, that was the same fear and respect that I used to care for them when they got old. So look, you reap. Many folks as parents are going to live a hard life. Where the book says your latter years should be better. Listen, they're only better when your children bless you in your latter years. And you've convinced yourself that the way you want them to bless them is by giving them everything now. The book said train them up now in the way that they should go. Teach it to them now while they're young. While they're impressionable, while they're here and obey it, so that when they are older, they'll look on you with the same love, the same honor, the same respect, and they'll care for you, they'll cherish you, and they'll do for you more than they do for anyone else, all because you taught them the fear of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? So there's benefits. I'm finished with it. You got the benefits. They're on the board. Tell your neighbor there's benefits to fearing God. And I'm going to prove it. Let's look at this story and then I'm done. Hey, come on, we're here we're in Exodus, the Egyptians. You read the story. Many of you know the stories. Verses 8 through 12. If you read that last verse in verse 12, it says that the God blessed the Hebrews so much, it says that the Egyptians feared God. When you begin to fear, it says that the Egyptians feared the Hebrews. When you begin to live and operate under the fear of God, listen, it won't make people think little of you. It'll actually cause people to think more of you. When they see that you are a life submitted under authority, that you have rules and regulations by which you govern your life, they'll start looking. And when they said they had fear of the Hebrews, fear, yes, they were afraid because they were growing mightier, but also fearful because they were being blessed more than the Egyptians. So there's a benefit when you have the fear of the Lord. Not only will the Lord bless you, but other people will bless you. Then go down verses 13 through 17. And then it says the Hebrew midwives, the key characters in the story, they come and it says, but the Hebrew midwives fear God. You got to understand Pharaoh was the most powerful man in the world at this time. There was no one could rival the power, the authority, or the sheer magnitude of his wealth or his strength than a Pharaoh in Egypt. So when these midwives were brought before Pharaoh, this was no small task. This was no small assignment they were given from just a somebody or a nobody. This was the most powerful man in the land. Had called them and said, look, I need you to do me a solid. When the women start giving birth, if it's a girl, let it live. But if it's a boy, I need you to snuff it out. Why? Because I'm getting afraid of you Hebrew peoples. And I need help trying to curtail your influence. But the Bible says the testimony of the Hebrew midwives is that they feared God. Touch somebody and say, I got the fear of God. Yeah, yeah. And they didn't just get it when Pharaoh called. They had been taught and learned the fear of God so that when they got up under real pressure, when they came up against a real authority, they didn't shake or quiver, nor did they cave in. But the testimony said they feared God more than Pharaoh. So when the women came to give birth, Shapara and Pua held back their hand, and they didn't kill the boys, neither did they kill the girls. And the Bible said God blessed them, and Israel grew. But what I like about it, in verses 18 to 21, in the conclusion, the Bible said because the Hebrew midwives feared God, it said the Lord blessed them and gave them their own families because they had saved the children of God. God now turned around and blessed these midwives with their own families, all because they had the fear of God. I don't know about you, but in this new year, I want to have the fear of God in my life. I don't know about you, but in this new year, I want to have the fear of God in my house. Somebody say, fear the Lord. Keep his commandments and live. I want the kind of church that has the fear of God in it. That hit a sour note because we want to have churches where we fear everybody else. But in this new year, God is going to restore order. Touch somebody and say, order in the house. The fear of God is coming back to the house of God. The fear of God is coming back to the people of God. I wish that I had the fear of God in my church. Somebody shout yes. I'm finished with it, church. This is how you have to start the new year. You got to start at the beginning. And the Bible said the fear of God is the beginning. So you got new hopes, new dreams, new resolutions. for all that you're going to do and accomplish in the new year. As your pastor, I just wanted to slow you down a little bit and just tell you, you don't start with the fear of God. Nothing else matters. Doesn't matter what you want to do. Doesn't matter what you want to build or where you want to go. If you don't start with the fear of God in your heart, it won't matter. And you'll go around and you'll say, oh, the Lord's not blessing me. It's not that He's not blessing you. It's that you're cursing yourself. You shut up the window of heaven. You bring a curse on yourself and your family. Gotta understand, this thing about the fear of God is generational. It goes beyond you and your lifetime. And that's why God said you got to get this right in the beginning. If you don't get it right, your sons, your daughters' daughters, your great-grandchildren, instead of rising up and being a blessing in your life, they'll be just the opposite. That's the word, Taylor. It's where we have to start. It's where we have to begin. And like I told you, the fear of God is taught. Stop reading about the blessings of the Lord. Start reading about the wrath of God. The judgment of a holy God. Read about it. Become familiar with it. Become aware that as well as God blesses, He judges. Get the fear of God in your heart for sin. It will do so much to help you live right. To have a healthy fear of what your heavenly Father would say. If He saw you do it, if He heard you say it, what would my Father say? What would my dad do if he caught me? My Bible says this: the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding both the good and the bad. He's watching. So why don't we live like He's watching? Why don't we conduct ourselves like He's watching? And in so doing, keep the commandments and bless His name. Shall we all stand?